and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. We start off the new year, and I know I have said I'm going to read my Bible again this year. And when we do that, we start at the beginning of the book. And as we read the beginning of this book, we see in the first two chapters, we actually see a lot of things. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven, to give light unto the earth. And it was so." Verse 16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and the rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now, I just read a passage out of the book of Genesis of just one day in what we know as, of what we know of a seven day period, a week. Let me just throw this out there to y'all. What catches you within that passage that I just read? Joe. It's like, in many ways, it's like, oh yeah, we'll make this, I'll make the stars also. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe somewhere in the Psalm, it says, something about, "and he made the stars also." And it's just amazing, because we can look around and we can say, God made that, but we look up and every once in a while we'll say, God made the stars also. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a God that made this world in 7 days and everything that lives in it in 7 days from nothing. I want to talk about the power of God tonight. The power of God. Many times we start our Bible reading, we always start with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we just go right on through there, and the earth was without form. We just keep reading that, when one of the first thoughts that come to our minds is, the creation. But think about the creation, okay? think about the power of God. That's a perfect time within that first chapter. That's the perfect time to think about the awesomeness and the power that God has. Okay? There is an issue that we run into when we talk about this, which is the power of God, that pretty much every attribute of God, how can a little finite mortal describe the power of our Creator? It is impossible to do it adequately. How can we describe the power of God? We're basically dust. Well, we're made of dust. So how can we talk about, or how can we describe the power of God, the power of our Creator? It is possible to do it adequately, for God is powerful and great and vast that our little minds just can't take it in. That's like when you hear the word infinity. What does infinity mean? Never ending. The universe is infinite. But can we comprehend it? Exactly. That's my point. We can't comprehend it, but God made it. God made it. We can't comprehend it, but God made it. God only gives us glimpses of His power and glory in Scripture. So how would we define power? How would you define power? I'm sorry?
Strength.
Strength, okay. Authority. All right. Merriam-Webster. I think Joe's back there going, well, just pull out your dictionary. Yeah, I got it. Definition of power. One is the ability to act or produce an effect. The ability to produce an effect. Capacity of being acted upon or undergoing an effect. Legal or official authority, capacity or right. Possession of control, authority, or influence over others. An example of that, one having such power is specifically, maybe a sovereign state or, a government. Physical might, mental or moral strength, political control or influence. Under the verb form, to supply with power, motive power, to give impetus or a driving force to move about by means of power, to move to great speeds or force. But does all of that describe our God? Not really. does this describe our God? No, not really. Our God is much more powerful than just even that. Okay? Power, often in Scripture, signifies authority and dominion. It is true that the Godhead has total authority over everything. It is what people mean when they say God is sovereign. Okay, he reigns over everything he has created. Is anything ours? Here we are getting ready, Pastor, in case you don't know, Pastor's getting ready to start up stewardship month when he gets back. We are stewards. What does that mean? That means nothing is ours. We're taking care of those things which God has placed in our hands. The things that God has given us. Okay? He reigns over everything. He created it. He created it. He reigns over it. He owns it. Some other words that the Bible uses to refer to His sovereign as Lord, Master, King, Potentate, Ruler, reigns, amongst other words. Another way God's power is defined in the Bible is God's strength and ability. Whenever we think of strength, we usually think of huge armies or bodybuilders that have tons of muscles. Strength. Yeah, I remember John. You know, every once in a while when he'd go up and go, "Yeah, I got strength." You know, do that thing. If you don't know John or if you don't remember John, yeah, that's just kind of him. Okay, but you know, when we imagine strength, you know, we imagine, you know, muscular people or armies. Okay, but God has the strength to crush all of them with just the touch of His finger. Think about that. You know, and we can say that with certainty because as we look around, you know. Could have we made the stars? You know, I go back to that phrase. And He made the stars also. Can we make a star? Not really. We can't. Okay, and that's the point. He possesses the ability to do whatever He wants to do. He can bring about whatever He pleases. The Bible refers to His strength, often in the Bible. Many times, referring to it as His mighty hand and outreached arms that we're seeing. An example: if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8. And the Lord brought us out, or brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. You know, if we go and look at the book of Exodus, you know, we see, we see Moses bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. Was it Moses that brought the Israelites out of Egypt? God told him to lead them out. But what's the point? You know, what's the key there? God told him. God did it. You know, God put in place the situation to where they can come out. Okay? The term we usually hear describing the idea of God being all-powerful is omnipotent, or omnipotence, which is Latin that means all power. As often as we hear this word, you know, do we or do we not hear this word a lot as describing God's power? Yes, we do. Let me ask this. Is it ever used in the Bible? Do we ever see this word in the Bible? Yes. Yes. Yes, we actually see it in the Bible. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And I hear, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And as perfect as that word is to describe God, it's used once. But it is used. Most other translations, they would use a different term. That different term being Almighty. Okay, this Almighty is used 57 times throughout the entire Bible, going from Genesis to Revelation. 57 times. Let's look at God's power. I am trying to hurry. You know, let's look at God's power. Okay, God has the power of creation. Okay, through Scripture, the creation of the world is cited as a compelling testimony of the power of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That simple statement, this simple statement that gives us a historical fact. God created. You know, we see a 24-hour time frame that God created. We're told that then God said, and when He spoke it, it came into existence. There's power in His voice. You know, looking at the power of God, there's power in His voice. Okay, God spoke it. And it was done. He commanded it, and it stood fast. Forget that thought. I'm sorry. How powerful, He spoke it, and there it is. How powerful is your voice? I can step away from here, and I can take the mic away. And Tom can still hear me. You know, we can project our voice. But can we create anything with our voices? Huh? Bad news? Bad moods. We can create bad moods. But, you know, That phrase, and He made the stars also, I can almost imagine, now this is just me thinking, talking about the power of God, we can almost think that He probably said, I'm going to make, sun, boom, moon, boom, stars. And there they were. He made the stars also. It wasn't, put the stars in the sky. I don't think it was like that. I think it was stars. Because He's got a powerful voice. He can create. Can we do that? No. Can anyone under the heaven do that? No. Only God can. By His word, He gives to all life, breath, and all things. It is just so hard to wrap our minds around how powerful one must be to create the universe as we know it just by speaking it. That's power. He's got the power to sustain. Not only did God, in His power, create all things, but He also, are told that God is sustaining it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The point is, upholdeth all things by the power of his word. He sustains. Okay, the only reason why things are continuing as they are each day is because God is keeping it going. It is why, as I was writing this up, I kind of had a fleeting moment. You know, God sustains all things. You know, doesn't that just kind of blow away the people of global warming? The thought of global warming. You know, God's sustaining this. God knows what he's doing. You know, do you honestly think that God would let us destroy something that he created? You know, just global warming. I just personally think their whole thought process is wacky. Okay. But anyway, we also see the power of deliverance. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, you know, what is being said here? You know, because the Lord loves you, and because he keeps his word, he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 17. Verse 36. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with a great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. Both of those verses, they talk about God delivering the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. They were in oppression. They were basically, or they were slaves to the Pharaoh. God, and as you remember the story of the story in Exodus, did the Pharaoh want them to leave? The Pharaoh could have really, if God wanted it, could have Pharaoh left the Israelites there? Think about it. But God said, no, I'm gonna go through with what I told Jacob, or what I told Jacob and Isaac, I'm going to bring them out. Okay? And he did that. So we see the power of his deliverance. We see the power over nature. You know, even within the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt, you know, we see God's power over nature. I mean, look at the plagues. All right? You know, the plagues show God's power over nature. Okay, and even over the so-called Egyptian gods, all right? And we know that God completed the deliverance of his people by showing his power by parting the Red Sea so his people could walk through it on dry land. Okay, you don't have to turn there. Exodus 14, verses 30 through 31. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, verse 31. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Okay, God's power is also displayed in providing daily sustenance to His people in the wilderness. You know, did God just let His people starve in the wilderness? What did He do? He provided manna and birds when they continued to say, "But we want meat." He provided them birds so that they can have meat. He provided, okay? You know, and he provided water for them during their journey, quails to eat for a month. He gave all the men everything that they needed for life. I believe I heard it said at one point, you know, did they have to replace their shoes? Their clothes. You know, that's God's power over nature. Okay? The term Almighty is also used to refer to Jesus. I didn't write it down, and I thought I had a verse. I didn't get it written down. Okay, but the term is also used in reference to Jesus. We see Jesus' power clearly within the gospel accounts. So many miracles that He did. He is God. We saw the power over disease. He healed people. I think of the woman with an issue of blood, how she just went up, you know, by faith and touched the hem of His clothes. And she was healed. You know, the blind and Jesus healing the blind, the blind people and the lame. Okay? You know, we hear about that throughout the Gospels. You know, made the deaf to hear and the mutes to speak. Jesus even had power over nature. You know, you think of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And all the disciples are going to Him, and they wake Him, and they say, "Lord, save us." And He says, all ye of little faith. And He goes out, and He says, "Be still." And what happens to the wind and the waves? They stop. Jesus has power over nature. Walking on water, you know, just some other examples. Walking on water. Was Jesus a fisherman? Not by trade. No. But what did He tell Peter to do? Drop your net on the other side. And what did Peter say? This is mine. Lord, I'm the fisherman. There's nothing over on that side. Peter, put your net over on the other side. What happened to that net? It almost breaks of so many fish. Okay? You know, the multitude of fish, you know, and another power over nature when He feeds the 5,000. You know, what did He have to start with that? I'm sorry? 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. And it fed 5,000 people, and they had leftovers. Did I miss something? Oh, okay. And they had leftovers. All right? The power over nature. The power over the spiritual realm. You know, He forgave sins. He cast out demons. He rose Lazarus from the dead. We see all these things that Jesus did. Not anything that God couldn't do if He wanted to. God did them. Jesus did them. Okay? Two more. You know, we see two more displays of God's power in Scripture. Resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. concerning the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. God rose Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 21. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So God raised Christ from the tomb. Death couldn't keep him. Sin and death were defeated with the resurrection. This display of God's strength and power is what gives us the hope that we have. This display of God's power is critical to our faith. And the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and verse 16, along with verse 16. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The question was posed. So, I'm trying to think of how it was. So, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. His power, God's power. Why did God display his power in creation? The gospel is the purpose of his revealing his power through creation. And throughout the entire Bible, we see the power of God. Why do we see the power of God? So that we can see Jesus as God. Jesus is God. And he died on the cross for our sins. What greater power than for one man to shed his blood for an entire world? Our faith must not rest on in ourselves or our strength. If that was the case, we would not have much hope. Our faith must rely solely on the power of our God to save us from our sins and to deliver us from evil in this world and to bring us to our homes in heaven. We have a home in heaven. We can't do anything of these things on our own or in our own power. Yeah, we can make a home. We can take a hammer and saws and, we can build a home. Right, Dave? We can build a home. It'll only take about an hour. It's an inside joke. But the home God builds us, our home, it's going to fall apart someday. It's going to fall, it's going to crumble, it's going to decay. But the home that God has for us is for eternity. What kind of power is that? That's power to glorify over. That's power to be thankful for. Is our God is powerful. And my point is, as we begin this year, and we start reading our Bibles, let's not come to the point to where we, as we read that first couple chapters of Genesis and say, oh, it's just the creation story. There's more to it than just that. It shows God's power, shows God's love, shows God's love for us throughout the eternity and His power in order to sustain us. We talk about His power a lot, but sometimes I wonder, do we just listen or do we actually sit and think, wow, what a powerful God. And by the way, He made the stars also. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings that You've given us, Lord. We ask You to just allow us to meditate on You. Allow us to meditate on Your power. Allow us to glorify You, Heavenly Father, and Lord, allow us to worship You, dear Lord. Lord, we just ask that You watch and be with us, Heavenly Father, as we leave here. Keep us safe as we go home. And Lord, just bring us back safely here on Sunday. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are dismissed.